is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. This is, again, is Jason Sunkel, joined by Justin Matcham from the Cab Central podcast. Justin, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again. Who would have thought we'd be here right now, where we actually are confident in what Team USA is doing?
Well, we are definitely confident. However, I will say, and I know you didn't watch it live, and when I texted you first thing in the morning, I scared you.
You did.
But I fell asleep at halftime again. The fact that the Team USA has started slow in the last three games and have managed to win them all is pretty impressive to me. They were terrible in the first quarter last night. They couldn't hit a three-pointer in the first half. They started 0 for 11. They were down 15 points. It looked ugly. It looked really, really ugly. And then I don't even know what happened, what flip got switched. I mean, Durant was great. Booker was really good last night.
Yes, he was.
Booker was really, really good. Bam was terrible, but he didn't even, like, I feel like they kind of played him off the floor, and I didn't quite get, listen, I didn't quite get the rotations last night. Draymond played 18 minutes and had five fouls. He was in foul trouble the whole game. There were some interesting things going on, and obviously I didn't catch the second half. I caught the highlights and stuff, and obviously, once again, Durant was the savior. In that third quarter, he played really well. But I think we have to really key in on their defense, because they only gave up 10 points in the third quarter. Now, maybe Australia missed a lot of wide-open looks, but the fact that it's still really, really hard to hold a team to 10 points in a quarter. So that's where I vision, like, we have to applaud them for turning up the defense against Australia.
Yes, absolutely. And they did miss some open shots, but it was a lot of just really good defensive pressure by Team USA. Obviously, Jrue Holiday continued to do what he does. Zach LaVine, I think, has been really, really good on that end as well throughout. Bam didn't have his best game here, but I also think part of it that goes into it with a game against a team like Australia is that, especially with Aaron Baines out, I'm not sure why Aaron Baines didn't play in this game. Do you know why?
I don't know. I can look and see if there's a reason Aaron Baines didn't play. Go ahead. Okay. Say your thing, and I'll look and see if I can figure it out.
Yeah, but anyway, this is not a team that is dominated by big men like very many other teams are. Jacques Landale obviously is signing with the Spurs. That was one of the moves that was announced in free agency. But other than that, not a whole lot of real center play on this team. And therefore, just not a lot of necessity for, you know, big men on the other side. Yes, Draymond obviously got in foul trouble. But it wasn't necessary. They were able to survive without those guys on the floor. Like you said, we got the first really, really good Devin Booker game of the Olympics, really. You know, ended up with 20 points on 7 of 10 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3. Made the first three of the game for Team USA, had a nice wide-open corner look that went down. So it was good there to just kind of break that spell and get a little bit of momentum for the team. Again, you could tell that in last game against Spain that they really were trying to get him in rhythm. And it seemed like maybe that may have done something as to just a way for him to get into a groove and find his rhythm, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, not the absolute best game from Kevin Durant. I mean, he finished 10 for 19 from the field. Like most other people on the team, did struggle from three, went 1 for 7. But obviously still did his thing, ended with 23 points and 9 rebounds, including just some, you know, FU shots over defenders that, you know, were impossible to defend. And I think overall, yeah, that it's been the tale of the Olympics for this team outside of the Iran game, where Australia or, you know, the Czech Republic or whoever it is gets off to a really, really hot start. And it's almost like Team USA is still warming up, where they just are taking those threes, and as they get into, again, rhythm throughout the game, it seems like those shots start to fall more and more. And whereas, you know, Australia comes out of the gates playing their absolute hardest at the very beginning, maybe these teams are just running out of gas as the game goes on. You know, just a guess there. Patty Mills, I thought they did a good job of shutting him down in this game. Obviously, you know, he made some tough shots, but did not get going in a crazy way. Dante Exum, I thought, was maybe their best player in this game.
That's a problem.
Yeah, like Joe Ingles was fine. He did good. You know, he didn't take a ton of shots. He was kind of part of that early run in, I believe, the second quarter, late first.
Yeah, I didn't quite get why he didn't take more shots. And I don't know if it was just the defense they were playing on him, but he clearly he played the most minutes for Australia, and he only took 5 shots. That's a tough pill.
Yeah, especially when it wasn't like, you know, he didn't look to be hurt or injured in any way. And he was making his shots early on. It just kind of, obviously, you know, Team USA did pressure him, you know, late in the game. You know, they kind of just put the ball into Patty Mills' hands, into Jacques Landale's hands, into Dante Exum's hands. But yeah, that was interesting that they kind of, it seemed to be kind of trying to get the ball out of his hands, which on a team with Patty Mills seems like an interesting strategy, but it paid off.
Yeah. So Aaron Baines suffered a neck injury a week ago. I don't know, but they had ruled him out. So obviously, once again, you know, that was a big blow for them. I don't think he moves the needle.
He would have been a scoring punch again against a team like USA. Definitely. Would have been an impact player just because he's a guy who can post up against, you know, whoever the USA is throwing out there at center.
Yeah, maybe JaVale would have had to play more.
That's another thing that I think, and we'll talk about, you know, France here in a minute, but JaVale McGee continuing to be very, very good in the, you know, in the 2 minutes he plays in this game. Again, blocking shots, finished 2 for 2 from the field, you know, on just someone who can really run hard to the rim and dive hard to the rim and finish
powerful. He still has to be leading points per minute. He has to be.
Like in the whole Olympics, he has to be. But yeah, it's interesting to me that he's still playing as little as he is. And I guess, again, in a game that isn't dominated by big men like a game against Australia, especially without Aaron Baines, that makes sense. But I really do still think that they should consider, like, giving JaVale a real spot in the rotation against France, just because they have so many big men.
All right, well, I guess let's transition there. I guess this is the point. I think we've set our piece from this game. Let's transition to France.
One last piece about that game. Okay, go ahead. Zach Levine dunked the ball a lot. That was fun.
Yeah, listen, I want to say, I heard someone say something on, I think it was the Simmons podcast today, and I've got to give him credit. And this was before the game. So they said, they think the Chicago Bulls are like the fourth or fifth best, could be the fourth or fifth best team in the East. And they're like, Zach LaVine has proven that if you have someone else that can score a basketball, that he can actually play defense. And he's a really good mm-hmm. defender if he doesn't have to do all the offense. And I think that's a very good point that I've seen. Because, listen, I've always thought of Zach LaVine as a really explosive, exciting player to watch. But I always thought his defense was not very good. Put a bunch of people around him, and he doesn't have to score 30 points or 25, 27 points a game. He can play good defense because he's not expending so much energy in the offensive end. So I'm kind of excited to see him and how the Chicago Bulls play. I'm not necessarily looking excited for the Cavs to have to play them and play kind of situation. But I think LaVine definitely has a chance to jump up
another level. Be a real two-way player.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right.
And I think one thing with that, too, I was just going to say, I think it was in the first Team USA scrimmage in Vegas against Nigeria, where Fran Fraschilla was calling the game, and he had kind of called for Zach LaVine to be a defensive stopper on this team. So it has definitely been multiple people who kind of called that out.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the podcast, Fran Fraschilla. But it's been, he called it. He was on it from the beginning.
Yeah. All right. So Team USA, France, tomorrow night. Nice timing. I know you, 10:30. I'm really excited about that. I'm not going to have to stay up till the game's going to be over, and I'm not going to be up until like 2 a.m. watching it. And I will watch the whole game unless it's ugly. But I plan on actually watching the whole game and seeing the end of it. So what does Team USA have to do to stop France and win this game tomorrow night?
Well, unfortunately, I'm still undecided on whether I would be watching this game or not. On a regular night, I absolutely would. I'd be thrilled that it was at 10:30. I'm going to have to be up at 4 in the morning on Saturday morning, so we'll see if I want to get any sleep or not. But looking at this France game...
You can sleep on the plane, man.
Come on. I'm not great at sleeping on the plane. It's not something I've really been able to do up to this point.
Wait, how old are you, Justin?
How old am I? I'm 20.
Okay, you're 20. You don't need sleep. Come on, man.
Okay, fair point. We'll see if I watched it or not. But, looking at France, first of all, what a game today. I don't know if you were able to watch France versus Slovenia.
I saw Nick Batum's block. I saw the highlights. I did not watch
it. Yeah, Nick Batum with a, huge, huge game-saving play. Luka Doncic, obviously, with like 16 points, 10 rebounds, I think 18 assists. And obviously just an incredible run by him. And it's been, in the limited action I've gotten to see from Slovenia, he's just been fantastic.
Some may argue that's Nick Batum's second biggest play he ever made at the Olympics. You know what the first biggest play was?
I don't. What is the first?
When he punched the guy in Spain in the Netherlands in the game. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, two big ones. We can debate which one is bigger.
I don't
but, But, anyway, I think that this is a different Team USA than the one that played France in the first game in the Olympics.
I
think it's different and the same. And I say it's the same because this is still a team that has relying on the same thing offensively as, we're relying on the fact that eventually our three-pointers and throughout the game will start to fall. We're still going to keep taking them. I think, again, going up against a team with real, real rim protection like France, they aren't going to get as many good looks at the rim. So I definitely think they are, again, going to, rely heavily on outside shooting again, which has worked up to this point. But we have seen in that, the first France game that it also could be their downfall. So it will be interesting. I think this is a losable game. I think it is a losable game. I expect this team to win just with the rhythm they seem to be in at this point. But they are going to rely heavily on the outside shot. So we've obviously seen them be very inconsistent throughout the Olympics. It's just a matter of can they turn it on when it counts most. Defensively, you are going to get, bullied in the post at least that France is going to try to do that again. It worked the first time. They have multiple bigs. They, like to play two bigs at the same time. I think Team USA has cleaned up their switching rotation a little bit again, like I said, to where they limit the amount of switches of guards or wings onto bigs where they can just get bullied into the paint and, France can get an easy bucket. But I do think, again, hopefully we will see maybe even some Jeremy Grant minutes in here again just to, guard bigger bodies. I do think JaVale McGee should play in this game just because when you're going up against lineups of, you know, Vincent Poirier and Rudy Gobert on the floor or whatever other combination of big men who can post up, I just think it's going to be necessary.
I couldn't agree with you more. They need to play JaVale McGee. Cavaliers legend JaVale McGee needs to play more minutes. Popovich, if you're listening to this podcast, which I know you're not, but if you're listening to this podcast, Greg Popovich, please put JaVale McGee into the game. I want to see him. He's been your most efficient player in the 2 to 3 minutes he's played.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, he's been a good role man for you. Like, he can block shots on that end as well on guard drives in a way that other guys on this team just can't. And he's been finishing around the rim on really, like, some tough finishes. Like, he's doing that at the end of the game, and it's not, you know, he's not just getting dunks every single time. He's making some, you know, finger rolls and hooks.
Point
he's,
guard
he's making
moves.
Some shots. Yeah, point guard moves.
Yeah, he's, listen, I'm not being, like, 100% serious that I think he would be a huge player, but I think he could definitely play.
I think he could help, and I think he should play too.
I 100%. I think he should play 10 to 15 minutes.
Yes.
I think that would be an appropriate amount. Any more than that is concerning, but 10 to 15 minutes would be good. Definitely more than two. Okay, Pop, more than two. So I think my big thing is with France is we just need to do a better job at least contesting at the rim. And that's another thing that JaVale can do is he can contest.
Yes.
And if he fouls Rudy Gobert, he fouls Rudy Gobert. But just giving up easy dunks every single time up and down the floor, that is not going to help them win this game tomorrow night. And I think that they are going to win tomorrow. I think they're going to win tomorrow. However, if they sit back and they keep missing threes and they keep missing threes and they keep missing threes and they just keep taking threes and they're not making them, then I'm going to be concerned that they're not trying to do something different. Now, I don't necessarily know. Like you said, France is good at protecting the rim. And if threes don't drop, then that's not going to be a very good thing for Team USA. However, I think that they can come up with a way to get some buckets at the rim, whether they do some kind of ball movement, where they set use some off, like force people, like you said, put Jeremy Grant out there, put bigs out there that can shoot the ball and pull Gobert away from the paint. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm not going to say it's going to be perfect, but they can't sit. If they're 0 for 11, like last night, 0 for 11, halfway through the second quarter in threes, you know, we can't rely
that's
on
that's
going
to be a problem against France.
100%, because I'm telling you right now, France isn't going to have a 10-point quarter, guys. I'm telling you that right now. It's not happening. If we're down at halftime, I'm going to be very concerned. Very, very concerned.
You're saying that you need a big man who can space the floor and take Rudy Gobert away from the rim. Boy, would it be nice to have a healthy Kevin Love right now.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started. Was that report that came out, that Colangelo comment? Oh, baby.
That was low. What is Colangelo doing? What is he thinking? Come on.
He's on his way out, man.
That.
He doesn't care. He's taking
yeah,
final,
he's leaving guns blazing, I guess. But, yeah, that was kind of, I don't know, that was...
I agree.
Like,
I wasn't.
On, you
it
didn't
wasn't very,
say that.
I know, but at the same time, like, listen, Kevin Love obviously had a different mindset. Like, he was ready to play, and he clearly wasn't ready to play,
mm-hmm.
Which is concerning for me for the season coming up here because we are going to be. I mean, it's already August 5th. There's NBA basketball summer league happening right now, and in 2 months, the Cavs are going to be gearing up to play. And I hope, like, if we don't buy him out, which I just don't see happening because it's probably too big of a gap right now, okay? If we don't buy him out, they need to get him to buy in to being a role player off the bench. He needs to buy into that because, quite frankly, I'm starting Mobley and Jarrett Allen day one. Sorry,
agreed.
Kevin Love. Sorry, Kevin. And, you know, you could be the seventh man or the sixth man off the bench. I don't know how they're going to rotations are going to work, but you have to buy into that because that's where you're at now, dude. Sorry.
Yeah, and I hope that this can maybe be a wake up call for Kevin Love. This whole situation in general, just because again, I think it was easier, and I think it was Fedor who kind of brought this point up first. That's where I first heard it, at least on his podcast. But he made the point of where it was kind of easy for Kevin Love to blame his lack of success the past couple of years on the fact that he's in a rebuilding situation with the Cavs, and you know, they're not prioritizing him, they're prioritizing the young guys, they're not prioritizing winning, they're prioritizing development, and it wasn't an ideal situation for him. And this was kind of going to be his chance, it seemed like, to join a winning organization and, you know, maybe even play an important role. We don't know what his role would have been if he was healthy, because we never got to see it. But it seems like, you know, and obviously we don't know this for a fact, but it could be a wake-up call for him as to it wasn't just his situation with the Cavs that was holding him back. It was, and I don't mean this in a mean way at all, but it was kind of himself holding himself back. You know, maybe mindset related, maybe not. Again, we've seen some of the frustration leak through on the floor over the past couple of years, but also health related, which is kind of out of his control, just the chronic injuries that he's dealt with his, you know, with his foot, with his back or whatever, you know, his calf right now, whatever it's been over the past couple of years. But and obviously I think that is something that's out of his control to an extent. So while a mindset change would be great, it might not even change anything, but hopefully this does at least change the mindset heading into next season, and at least will, and maybe as the attitude does kind of shift towards winning in Cleveland, him buying into a role does kind of seem like a more realistic thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So I guess where we leave this is, do you think Team USA wins tomorrow?
I'm going to say yes. I think they win. And one more factor that we didn't discuss, again, looking at that first, you know, the first Olympic game against France versus where we are now.
Holiday, Middleton, Booker.
We have Devin Booker coming off of his best game of the whole Olympics. We have Chris Middleton, who's been a little bit hit or miss, but isn't as poor as he was in that first game where he was just clearly fatigued. And, you know, Drew Holiday has played hard through and through, but it seemed like he was getting tired at the end of that game as well. All three of those guys have, I mean, I keep on saying it, but worked themselves into a rhythm and aren't, you know, functioning on who knows how many hours of sleep they got that night before the game. So,
yep.
I think having those three fully engaged and, you know, ready to go is also going to be a significant difference from, you know, the first game that we saw. So, that, just the lack of communication was a problem in that first game. Again, they've cleaned up a lot of those mistakes on the defensive end, so I'm going to say that they do win this game. Although, again, if the shots don't fall, it's not a guarantee.
Yep, hopefully they could win like KD won in the pole vault today. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for. So, anyways, I think they're going to win. I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be like these games where we just... third quarter we come out guns blazing. Mm-hmm. I will say Team USA has got the anti-Cavs going on, where the Cavs are always sucked in the third quarter. They come out and play well in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be close all the way through. I think we're looking at a 5 to 10 point game at the end of it.
Most of the game, yeah.
You know, maybe it gets expanded a little bit due to free throws or whatever at the end. But I think it's a close game. And I'm picking Team USA to win. So,
and I said that this is a losable game. It is also very possible that three or four guys get hot and they do blow France out of the water. Like, there are a wide range of outcomes that could happen with a team that shoots as many threes as Team USA does. So,
I mean, they could definitely be interesting. They could easily put up 130 and just be like, "Oh yeah, we just made a bunch of three pointers tonight." And
they could,
and free throws, and that's it. And then they could easily put up 80 tonight or tomorrow night, or 60 tomorrow night, or 70 tomorrow night, and you're like, holy crap, that was terrible. So we'll just have to see what happens. I'm hoping they come out guns blazing, and you know, hopefully JaVale's not shooting threes. That's the only thing. JaVale, if you come in the game, you don't need to shoot a three, buddy.
If he hasn't shot one at this point, I don't think it's going to happen, unless Team USA is up by like 25 with a minute left. Then I am rooting for a JaVale three.
That's true. I'll root for that as well. All right. Well, I want to thank Justin for agreeing to recap all of these Team USA games. Obviously, like he said, he's going to be leaving early Saturday morning to go somewhere. So I didn't want he's not going to be able to join us. So I think possibly, depending on Mike's arrival, that he will be able to hop on with us on with me and talk about the game. And if not tomorrow, then maybe Saturday night we'll do that, and we'll kind of talk about what it, in the grand scheme of things, and I'll just kind of pick his brain maybe a little bit on free agency as well, because he's been out in the boonies and he probably doesn't know everything, so he's probably gonna have to catch up a little bit. But we'll talk, and we'll see when we do that. But Justin, I want to thank you very much for agreeing to hop on with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. This has been really, really fun to do the whole way through. One question I have for you before we go. Have you watched any of the Salt Lake City or Sacramento Summer Leagues?
Have I watched any? I've seen some highlights, but nothing drastic. The problem is, like, I can only watch so much with the kids. So, like, I haven't been paying attention to it that much. I did see some clips of Mobley seemingly playing well in the training camp or whatever is going on at the Cavs facility, but I have not really paid too much attention to the summer league, because when I have been watching things, I have been watching Olympic stuff. So,
okay, that's fair.
What observation do you have about the summer league that you want to share?
Well, I was just gonna say, the first game that the Spurs played, Spurs against Jazz White. They did get blown out, the Spurs did, but Justin Turner, their starting shooting guard, did end up with 13 points, which was a team high, as well as 7 rebounds, which is also a team high.
Justin Turner has got to be from Bowling Green, right?
Yes, he is.
That's why I knew there was a reason. There was an end game here. I got it. So, yeah.
I had to include him somehow.
Yeah, listen, I mad respect. I appreciate that. Get him in. Get him the plugs. Now, was he drafted or was he undrafted?
He was undrafted. He signed with the Spurs as an undrafted.
Is he gonna make a roster somewhere, do you think?
By somewhere, do you mean like in the NBA or in the G League or overseas? Like, what do you mean by somewhere?
Because
he's definitely gonna make a roster somewhere.
Well, I mean, if he's playing in summer league, he's gonna at least be playing foreign league somewhere.
I think somewhere over here in the US. Like, he's probably going to end up with the Spurs in training camp. Unless he really, really impresses, he probably spends the first year with the Austin Spurs. But I'm telling you right now, watch him play. He is a natural player, a natural, you know, high-level field guy, natural scorer, also a playmaker. Like, just if anyone out there is looking for someone to watch, you don't know very many guys playing in the summer league, watch the Spurs. Watch Justin Turner play. He's fun to watch.
Hey, did you see the news that Jimmer Fredette is playing in summer league?
Is he playing in the summer league again? Yeah, is he going to pull out again because he re-signed with Shanghai like he did last year, or not last year, but 2 years ago?
I don't remember who I saw he signed with, but he signed with someone today. It was on my feed. I was like, Jimmer? What? I thought didn't even know he was still playing basketball. Quite frankly, Jimmer.
He's been playing in China, I think.
Jimmer signed with the Denver Nuggets.
Okay. Well, I'll be there in Vegas to watch him. I'll be there to watch.
Is that why you're going to Vegas?
I will be in Vegas for the summer league. Yes.
That's the only thing you're doing there, right? You're 20, so you're stuck. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not gambling. If I were 21, I wouldn't be gambling. I'm not leaving the summer league for that.
Good man.
I'm not leaving the gym.
Good man. All right. On that note. We will catch you on our next episode. Thanks again, Justin.
Yep, thank you.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.